Vice President Kamala Harris returns to her home state of California today to meet with families of the 11 people killed celebrating the Lunar New Year at a dance hall in Monterey Park last weekend. Less than 2 days later, a gunman killed 7 people at 2 farms south of San Francisco. In both cases, the shooters were older Asian men. Many of the victims were Asian, and it comes at a time of increased violence against the Asian community.
When tragedies like this happen, we all want answers to questions like why, how, what is law enforcement saying, how are the victims' families doing, am I safe, could this happen again? We want to try and answer some of those questions with our next guests, two journalists who've been covering these two mass shootings since the news broke, but we'll also reflect on what it's been like as Asian American women to cover a tragedy that has hit their own community. Ann Doe is a reporter for the LA Times. Thanks for being here, Ann.
Thank you very much for having me.
And Cecilia Lay is a reporter at the San Francisco Chronicle and host of its flagship podcast, Fifth Emission. Cecilia, welcome.
Pleasure to be here, Deepa.
Cecilia, I'd like to start with any latest updates you can give us on the Half Moon Bay shooting.
Sure. So the suspect who's been arrested is 66-year-old Chung Lee Zhao. He's a mushroom farm worker. And the Chronicle actually obtained some records that have shown that the man has had this long history of being violent and threatening to his coworkers that actually dates back a decade. It includes things like threatening to split another coworker's head open with a knife, trying to suffocate another man. So we're still learning a lot of details, but we are starting to get a fuller picture of potential motives here.
Mm. And your front page story this morning is about Asian on Asian violence. Do you want to give us a quick update there?
Yes, thank you, Deepa. A lot of people in our communities are wondering, why are older Asian male behind both attacks in California? And we looked at the mental health aspects of immigrant lives, what may have contributed to their isolation, their sense of loneliness, and how in our communities these are taboo topics. And the male is encouraged to be the provider for the family. And if they do not succeed or meet cultural expectations, they could lose face.
Mm. You know, I want to ask you that it strikes me that there may be a time when we wouldn't have had a story like that on the front page of a major American newspaper. You know, you as an Asian American woman in the newsroom bring a lot to being able to tell that story. How does it feel to cover something like that?
When it first happened, I never thought it could be a hate crime, as so many others were guessing along the same lines. I thought that this is the product of somebody who is separated from society. And somehow that turned out to be true. I wanted to bring some kind of cultural sensitivity as well as patience and the understanding that when newcomers adjust to society, there are so many barriers that the average person in the mainstream does not realize. It's not just in your professional work life. You might have lost your status in the old country and are carving out a new niche, but having to jump through hurdles, not just with the language, but with lifestyle and cultural pressures. Yeah. I really was worried about people attaching sort of like an unknown face to the suspects or to the victims. These are people struggling with housing bills, struggling with not just providing for your immediate family, but for grandparents, aunts, uncles. And we wanted to try to weave in a sense of those shared mission.
Yeah, there's so much in that, Anne. And And Cecilia, as you listen to that, you know, mm-hmm. and on your podcast, the episode that's out today of Fifth Emission, you devoted the whole episode to the issue of gun control, which is kind of a different way of coming about this, but it was powerful that the whole episode was on gun control, especially when we look at California being a state that has some of the strictest gun laws in the country. So I want you to quickly just tell us about that and why that's an important part of the story to tell.
I spoke to State Assemblyman Evan Lowe, who represents California's 26th district, which includes the South Bay and Silicon Valley. And he basically said, quite frankly, he's fed up because he believes, as a policymaker, the state legislature has done everything it can do to help try to keep residents safe from guns. And that includes passing laws. As you mentioned, California has some of the strictest gun laws in the country, things like banning high-capacity magazines, having an age limit, and doing background checks. But really, he points his fingers at things like the Supreme Court and Republicans who are having those laws be tangled up in the courts. You know, the Supreme Court decision in June voided New York's concealed carry law, which is encouraging challenges to restrictions in other states like California. So the tone that he really shared with me, Assemblyman Lowe, was just people have to understand, people like to look, point fingers at policymakers. But when you really sort of look at the way that laws get tangled in courts and in other sort of politics, it's really complicated.
Mm. And Cecilia, just to go personal with you for a moment, you had some harrowing tweets as the news of the Monterey Park shootings broke. You were worried for your sister who'd been at the Lunar New Year celebrations right there in Monterey Park. You tweeted that she was fine, but that must have been an awful late night and early morning. And then you like had to turn around and report on it.
You're right. It was a really terrible way to start the new year. And the tradition is at the start of a Lunar New Year, you're not supposed to talk about negative topics like death. And there I was, like right at midnight, talking to my sister and having to share about what she just narrowly missed. It's difficult, but I think it sort of encourages me to interrogate the violence more. I think, you know, we've had this conversation so many times. It's nauseating how many times we've talked about this. And the fact that this has hit so close to home makes me think about the ways that we should think about as Asian Americans. Why did this happen? What are the gaps in resources that allowed this to happen? And so I don't think the conversation should just be on gun control, but really taking a fuller look at the ways that violence happens within different communities in different ways.
Mm. And just kind of a final question to you both. You are reporting, you know, about your communities, but really the audience of, you know, both your publications is not overwhelmingly Asian American. Do you ever get caught in a feeling of I'm explaining my community to others and maybe in the moment it's the Asian American community that really needs the information and the services that you, I don't know, talk me through that. Let's start with you, Anne.
I think living in multicultural Southern California, we're used to touching upon all of our lives, sharing. And for me, it's a privilege and a learning experience day by day, running around the streets of San Gabriel Valley and knocking on strangers' doors and feeling the grace of their words. Also deep gratitude for the fact that they open up to us. Many, many people affected by violence want to echo their feelings and their fears. And we are in a position to share that, as well as the terror in the immediate moment, and then the reflections that occur afterward. I want to tell more of these stories, and I want to learn from the people on the ground about what they see, what they don't see, the untold stuff. Yeah. It's fascinating to me.
Thank you, Anne. Cecilia, last words to you.
I mean, I think that there's just been this really interesting moment in recent years is that Asian Americans have been thrust into sort of mainstream spotlight because of the increased violence and racism that the community has faced. I think the challenge now is, you know, one, how do we keep the spotlight on Asian Americans? But two, how do we get more complex in how we cover the community? And so when things like mass shootings against a community happens, we want to be really careful to not generalize and, you know, paint the situation in broad brushstrokes. We have to interrogate what's happening very carefully. And, you know, there's a lot at stake in the way that we talk about our community.
Mm. Cecilia Lay is a reporter at the San Francisco Chronicle and host of its flagship podcast, Fifth and Mission. And Ando is a reporter for the LA Times. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank
Thanks
you so
to
much.
You and our audience.